Good morning, everybody. It is April 25th, 2019. It is a Thursday and 9 a.m. We are gathered for the County Administration Workshop in the Board of County Commissioners Conference Room. April 25th is a fun date. I have three high school friends that had that birthday. And so for some reason, I always remember their birthdays now that it's 30 years later.
I always remember it from the movie Miss Congeniality, because she, one of her friends gets asked, what's the perfect date? She's, I think it's April 25th.
Oh,
it's not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a light jacket.
And if you're looking outside today, it is that perfect day.
So. I know, right?
First up on our agenda, thank you for your indulgence, John, is Department Business with Information Technology and discussion of the Ann Basker equipment upgrades.
So the board is discussing upgrading the audio and video equipment in the Ann Basker Auditorium. As per legal, I went out with an informal bid for providing those services. I sent it to five providers in the Eugene-Portland corridor because there just aren't Southern Oregon providers that do that length of business. Got two responses, one from Delta Audio Video and one from Design Sound Northwest. Design Sound Northwest actually came down to the site. They had given the board a proposal a couple of months ago. Delta did it through diagrams and asking questions about the space itself. Both bids came in fairly close.
I think you got one more. I'll pass it on.
They are a little different, not a lot. If you go to the back page, we might as well start with the sticker shock.
Which one?
If either both, actually. I'm sorry, page 8 on Delta has the bid amount. And page 11 on Northwest has the bid amount.
Okay, they're $900 different.
Yeah, for $84,000, that's a pretty tight bid. They are a little different in that the Northwest one, they have a $4,000 credit. If we don't want to go with their proposed speaker layout, they are suggesting that we either use the two community speakers, one on either side of the room in parallel with 8 new speakers that would be smaller, that would be in the ceiling, that would broadcast better to the audience. The Delta AV bid only includes the existing speakers that we have. So if we don't go with in the Northwest bid, if we say we'll just stay with the speakers that we have, then it would be $4,000 less.
So that's curious. So Delta is essentially $4,000 over the other one because they don't include additional speakers.
Correct. So I'm trying to get to apples to apples.
Yeah.
So in that case, Northwest is coming in $4,000 less. And also they inappropriately put in a cost for replacing our cameras. And that is on page 7. The bracket and cameras, two cameras, would amount to $3,700. So the Northwest bid is essentially $7,000 less than the Delta, or $8,000 less than the Delta bid. They can do the job in the June-July timeframe. Delta cannot do it until October, November. Both businesses are very busy. I sense that Northwest wants the job a little bit more. Delta's reputation, when I did send out emails to other counties, was stellar. They were all very happy with them. Northwest came up once from another county, city, or municipality, but Delta was very well known in the Portland area. So I'm sensing that Delta will do a very good job, so will Northwest. Delta's a more known entity. Northwest wants the business, I sense, a little bit more than Delta does. Both proposals fit the statement of work that we've requested. And I talked to both about, to them about what happens if the board says we want to do most of this, but we don't want to spend $84,000. And both said that they're willing to trim their submission based on your priorities.
And where would the money come from?
That's why we have Arthur.
Right. Isn't there some PEG money around, but it's not enough?
Not anywhere.
Oh, yeah, no, not anywhere near enough. And can you spend those same PEG funds on RVTD contracts in the future?
No.
Okay, you got a no and a nod.
No, I was more of the, yeah, I know.
Let me think about it, right?
But I know PEG had some fluctuations going on, so I...
What, revenue level?
In application of the rules.
Oh.
How they were applying the rules, but I think John is correct. It's capital, not...
Ongoing services, right, okay. Yeah.
Right?
I think that's right, it's
capital
improvements.
That was the, kind of the change of theory.
Good question.
And the RVTV services are in the IT budget that'll go before the board. For the upcoming July 1.
And they don't care about this upgrade, whatever
we're doing? They do, actually, yeah, they're interested in the quality of the equipment that we have.
I bet they are.
Yes.
Well.
My sense from the board is that audio was the priority to get better microphones, better audio to both the dais and to the citizens in the audience, and to have better sound for broadcasting on YouTube and to the Charter channel. That's about probably 2/3 of this proposal. We could wait on some of the video issues.
Right. And how old is this stuff now that we're using?
There's different age levels.
Yeah.
The amplifiers.
I'm 43.
You don't want to hear how old I am. The amplifiers are probably getting close to replacement.
And they're in this.
They're in this.
Yeah.
We are in the analog world right now. Everything is moving to the digital world, so this would get us there.
Didn't that happen a few years ago?
Not for us.
For everybody else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The projectors are brand new. We're keeping those. The the cameras are well within a window of service, so we're keeping those. The speakers in the audience are fine. They're fairly new.
Those wall mount tall things?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But the guts of the system are probably going to be replaced in the next 5 years, whether we do this or not.
Right. Does it require any additional wiring on our part? Or?
Yes, they'll be running Cat 5 instead of the old coax, and but that's included in the bid. The only thing that's not included is some power. If we do the TV on the wall, we'd need power there, but facilities could arrange for that.
Well,
I'm letting you process.
It sure seems like a much needed upgrade. We've had trouble with the audio side, obviously.
For instance, a meeting that we recently had to go back and listen to, and you couldn't hear the speaker.
You had to be a lip reader?
No, I mean, that's just it. There was no, you can't tell by the recording what was said because the microphones don't pick up. They don't.
Yeah, and that's. That's a terrible public-facing obstacle, and so I think we need to fix it.
So I'm feeling like the Northwest is probably the route to go, unless the Delta is so well-known but to get it done this summer.
Yeah, what, a 10% savings?
We don't have to do the cameras. I think the speakers throughout the room would be helpful.
Would be better, yep.
That's only $4,000 if you consider it that way. We don't get the $4,000.
Put the $3,000 off for the cameras that don't have to be replaced. It's your call on the speakers. To me, to have, no matter where you're sitting in the room, you're hearing the same sound because you have the speakers spread out through the ceiling. It's what we did over in Marine Hill Conference Room. And it's kind of neat when you're sitting there and you're like, you're not struggling in the back of the room to hear.
Yeah. I follow you on that. I think that just having the two points of speakers is not the best. Well, that sounds like a good place to go then.
Okay.
In between.
And I can call the city of Coquille, the University of Portland, and confirm that they had good experiences with Northwest.
Do you have any other recommendation? I mean, would you?
No, this one's really up to the board, how badly they think it's needed for the citizens. And I think both companies will do a fine job. You'll get it quicker and a little bit less money with Northwest.
Then I'm good with that.
Yep, me too.
Arthur's willing to bypass a paycheck for the next year to pay for it.
Oh, just half a paycheck.
Okay.
So then I'll work through legal to bring you a contract to the board.
Sounds good.
Next up is HR on a job description approval for facility services.
Morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
So this is for the position for facilities administrative supervisor / compliance coordinator. Had need to tackle really our ADA compliance issue. The long-term trajectory with that concern is that in 3 years, 5 years, the ADA part of the job isn't going to be the majority of the job. It will be initially, but down the road it won't be. So we wanted to craft a description that has some longevity in it that's going to do more than just this one function. So what we came up with is a administrative supervisor within facilities that also oversees compliance with ADA and OSHA. And so legal has looked at the job description that they think it's what we're looking for. Facilities has looked at it and says the same thing. So today is just the final approval of that job description.
Well, I certainly think it's a good thing that we're going to try and get all the facilities into compliance. Because you can grandfather in a lot of things, but eventually you gotta start fixing it. So this is timely, of course, for parks as well as.
Well, and it's something we need to be looking at countywide, not just parks facilities.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and the big part of the ADA aspect of the job will to be completing a comprehensive countywide assessment and then drafting a comprehensive strategy in order to get us into compliance, because it's just money. You know, hey, if you have $10 million, you can do it right now.
Right.
You don't have $10 million, so
well,
it'll be a long
prioritizing
term.
Where
yeah.
The best benefit is.
And then on an annual basis, doing compliant audits, you know, they'll be responding to citizen complaints associated with it, with access, and then, you know, working with the departments and then facilities on this is our budget, what should we fix first and second.
How does that work with parks, with them being a siloed funding source? Are they going to pay for him? Or the
no,
person?
The county's paying for it.
County's paying, and just
yeah.
Some bleed over.
This isn't
yeah.
Just about parks.
No,
it's,
I know.
Yeah, so facilities
but.
Covers, so it'll go out of the facilities fund.
Yeah.
Right, but
so
we'll still look at the parks for compliance.
Correct.
Right, right, okay. I just wanted to see what that line looked like.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, facilities has a rate. They charge each department a square footage rate
right.
Every year. For facility maintenance, and it should cover facility costs, so I imagine that this cost should be wrapped into that rate.
Yeah.
Right, and no additional to, okay, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds good. The description looks good.
So, yeah, let's move forward with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Bring him on.
All right, Arthur, your capital improvement plan overview.
Well, he's bringing coffee. Is this going to take a while?
Come on, I got a 10 o'clock meeting.
It's just meetings go better with coffee. That's all.
I know. I should grab one.
Well, what I have brought for you folks is to just when I said the overview, I just want to show you where I'm going and what the end product is going to be. Can I give that? Oh yeah.
Thank you.
You know what I meant to keep one of those for myself and then hand it to you. Sorry, can you have that from Nicole? The memo is the same. The three attachments are new. So I'll give you this one, and that's what I meant to do. I didn't mean to give it to you right away. So what I just wanted to do is to show you the end product, where I'm heading. So the three attachments are from Lane County. I have a few various counties and city plans, and they essentially follow a similar format.
We should have gotten the ones from the city on the radio stuff. We'd already talked about that we're going with the same equipment.
Oh, okay.
The city bid out with the 911 agency so that there's redundancy if there's anything that breaks, the three systems all work together. So it shouldn't be that we're going out to Lane County for something that...
No. This is just an example of a capital improvement plan.
Okay, sorry.
Based
just
on
making sure that we're not going off of something different than we'd already been talking about.
No.
Sorry.
All this is just the
just
a format.
Example. It
yeah,
should
just
be
an example. It's a sample.
There
yes.
you go.
It's a sample of what a capital improvement plan looks like, and this is what our capital improvement plan will look like, or some variation of it. We're going to have a list of each. Basically, what we have is buildings and improvements, roads, bridges, technology. I'm not including fleet or things of that nature, but
and I don't think roads and improvements should be included either, because transportation funding is completely separate.
It is, and that's part of it. But and probably I'm sure Public Works, you know, they have their pavement condition index and their system transportation plan. They have those things in place.
That is not necessarily what I consider capital for the county.
It is a capital improvement project,
but because their funding source is different,
correct.
Because it's not general fund, because it's separate, that process has its own process in place that we don't need to redo.
We don't need to redo it. The consistency, though, of being able to look in one place and see what projects are out there and what we have planned over the next several years, though, I think could be a helpful tool for the board when they're assessing what's happening, what are your priorities.
I have with that is that it's because they're separate funding sources, that has no bearing on the prioritization of our other projects.
You're correct, especially when you look at general fund or general availability of reserve funding, you know, what the demands on those funds are going to be. You could say the same thing really with parks. You could say the same thing with perhaps fairgrounds. You know, they're going to have their master plans, they're going to have their airports, they're going to have their capital plans that they're projecting out. What I found when I've looked at the different capital plans of different municipalities is they do incorporate all of those into a single document and into a single plan. Not saying that we're reinventing the wheel or that we're funding them out of general funds, but it does give a consistent look at what is the total scope of the county or municipality for capital improvements.
It might be beneficial if there were different sections, because
mm-hmm.
the concern I would have is that if we list them all together in the
mm-hmm.
prioritization of what projects, there might be an insinuation that you can take from that fund
right.
to fund a different project that's a higher priority.
And you'll see here, for example, here's the sample I gave was technology.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a separate section for technology, distinct from general fund, distinct from buildings and improvements, distinct from roads and bridges. So that was, but as far as the format is concerned, and I appreciate your input on that, because I think you're right. The focus that, and the more immediate need that we have, is how are we going to allocate our limited general funds,
mm-hmm.
you know, discretionary funds that the board has discretion over where to apply those funding.
Well, and there are funds the board controls that impact airports, parks, and that other stuff. As far as we can say yes, don't go forward with that project, or no, do whatever, all that kind of stuff. But there's also matching dollars that have been provided through economic development funds that we do have control over.
And that's what you'll see in here also, because part of the idea behind the capital improvement plan, especially when you look at the shorter term ones, the 5-year plans, you're looking at where is that funding coming from. It needs to be identified. It needs to be laid out there. Where are you getting the money? Is it grants? Is it general fund? Is it economic development? You know, we need to have it laid out there. So that's part of this plan, is to have the funding for each project laid out. And you'll see that on the third page. You'll see where the plans that I've seen, City of Salem, Lane County, Columbia County, they have a separate page for each individual project, and these are the identified ones. Yeah, and that, so you'll see the project identified, described, the funding, and what year out of the next five where that funding's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is that this is
a standard.
This is the product that I'm thinking that we're going to get out of this whole thing. This is what I'm moving towards, and I was wanting to get the board to say, this is what we want to see.
Yeah.
This is what we want. I mean, it'll vary, because it'll be hours, not, but this is what I want to see. This is what me, the board, will need to make decisions. Individual projects summarized on a chart, and that's what we can work with. The idea that I've heard or read in various plans is that typically this thing is it's dynamic, it changes based on priorities, funding opportunities, public input, board priorities. And usually sometime in the first part of the year, January, February, the plan is revisited, revised, updated, and that's then used for the budget process for the coming year.
And in hindsight, I guess having the transportation stuff is on there is a good idea. We've asked for a schedule of overlay. We've asked for a schedule of different projects, and we don't have those necessarily.
Right.
So having it in the...
My concern is so much of what we have is in people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not bad. I mean, you've got a department...
No, but anything can happen any day.
Yes, you've got a department... Mm-hmm. Head, and that's their job, their passion is to do that work, airports, parks, whatever. But yeah, be really nice to have these projects laid out. 5-year, very detailed. 10, 20, the very last page I have is Lane County, what they call the pre-planning stage. So these are projects that are out there, maybe the 10-year, 20-year projects, but they haven't been fully fleshed out yet, you know. Funding is not
right.
necessarily
just on the horizon out. Style.
But we wanna get them recorded anyway, so that at least they're somewhere. The carefulness is to make it so it's not just a wish list, you know, if I had unlimited fund, you know, it
right.
needs to be grounded in reality. But so that's kind of the point of this overview, was to to just touch bases, bring information back, and say, if I did this, does that give you what you need? I mean,
right.
this is not the end all of all
no,
things.
It's
I mean,
the
we
beginning
can, as
of
we
a
work,
better process.
Yeah, and as
yeah.
we work through it, you can certainly input and say, hey, let's include this, or focus on that. Don't bother with that
right.
piece of it.
It's kind of the beginning of the Capital Projects book, which is a separate budget book over at the city. Yeah, that kind of gives you that snapshot.
Oh, they do. This every couple of years, it looks like Lane County does theirs.
Refreshes.
Yeah,
theirs.
So
yeah.
I have a copy of their 2017, their 2018, and they're just doing their 21-26 draft. So I think it's a good idea. I'm really appreciate the fact that we've got enough breathing room. Right now, we're not in survival mode anymore. more, that we've got time to take a look and try to be a little more systematic and deliberate mm-hmm. in our decision making. So,
well, and it just
that.
Makes things more handoffable, like you guys were saying, in case we have a department head or a political change.
Yeah. Yeah, we know where we're going. I did want to bring out just to, you know, our budget does have a 5-year plan to it. The trouble is that this
it
is not
necessarily. It does have a list of what we're looking at, and not every project's in there for certain.
Okay.
Sounds
well, that was the extent of what I just wanted to get a decision point and give that.
I think it's easy to follow, but
and we can adapt it as we go along too.
And right? I need to follow up with you as well about some radio stuff.
That's why I chose technology, because it has radio on there, and you notice Lane County had 1.8 million for their radio.
Changing
on the sample I gave
you. Remember how I told you that if SRS is coming up, it can't be new positions. We have to get the infrastructure, because we'll be shut down without it.
Golly. Yep. Sounds like something.
I don't mean it that starkly, but it is.
Well,
and I know what the city and 911 just spent on their radios.
Yeah.
So, but there's a system-wide, county-wide radio system needed. There was an assessment done 6 years ago that I need to get to you.
Okay.
And in addition, there was a recommendation for a work group involving multiple agencies that use and see if there's a system of recommendation. So I would like to follow up with you on that.
Okay.
Separate
that,
from the specific immediate purchase that we've been talking about, this kind of bigger picture needs.
And that would should involve all our users, or are we just looking
at
funding?
Later.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Did
thank
you finish
you.
Your coffee?
I've got just a sip left.
It's close.
There's a refill over there for you, so you can get
recharge.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So agenda wise. Any other business?
No, ma'am.
I have this one item. Last week we got the board gave approval for us to write a support letter for RCC.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't remember is if we directed it to be signed by the full board, or if the chair can sign on behalf of, because Commissioner Jan is.
Yeah,
because
he's absent, I think chair would be
okay.
appropriate.
So I just want to make sure I bring it up to get that blessing.
Sure.
And we'll get that letter to them today. And then board business, any other matters that should come before the board?
Yeah, one thing, I talked to Sarah at Parks about radio, and yes, we can do the 30th.
Awesome.
So we'll need to do a little schedule shuffle over there.
So I followed up with Colleen Cajo about finding out.
Oh, the second day?
Yeah, and out of that was the discussion of, for some reason, they're not sure why we are switched to the last Tuesday of the month. Versus the commissioners always being on the fourth Tuesday of the month.
Right.
Their preference was us to be the fourth Tuesday of the month, so that gives them that fifth day to schedule for something else. And then we'll always know that the commissioners are the fourth Tuesday of the month. Do you have any objection
good.
To that?
No, I think that's better for the public as well as for us for scheduling.
Okay, so fourth Tuesday will be the commissioners.
Be the going forward.
And we'll need to make sure all our calendars are reflected that way. Because somehow
right.
it got switched to the last Tuesday.
Yeah, we may have to check some of those dates.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then I still need a follow-up. They said they'd have somebody call me back about the third Tuesdays for departments. So potentially what that would mean is that all of that goes out the door.
Right, and we get a separate.
We have a separate day that departments can be highlighted on the radio. Multiple departments or one department or a commissioner and a couple, if we want to do it that way.
Yeah, two commissioners and one or whatever it worked out to.
As essentially, yeah. I mean, the city does it, but the council's on one and staff are on another. I like the blend of a commissioner and departments, because there's policy questions that they defer to the commissioners. There's
yep.
detailed questions that we refer to them.
I agree.
But then it still allows that fourth Tuesday to be just the commissioners.
Yeah, sounds really good.
Okay, so I'm following up with them, but I didn't want to agree to the fourth Tuesday without your blessing.
Consider it blessed.
I was in a meeting yesterday, and the topic came up about a mass gathering permit that had been issued. And it made me realize that that's not something our department is notified of after it's done, but it may be something we would want to know as an FYI.
Right.
Hey, by the way, this is going to be a mass gathering. And so I had the individual that had the permit email it to me, and it's issued by Community Development. So I forwarded Mark and just asked, who signed off on this? And you know, just kind of checking with the process, because in that process, it's like, is there a check mark of who all
gets notified?
And the list of back that I got did not include public health, though I think they probably were on the list, but I know they have to be in that conversation. So I asked him just to check in with me this afternoon so I could verify that public health was on the list, but there's nothing on the permit itself that says that it's been signed off by all those agencies. So it
right.
appears that Community Development does it alone.
In their own.
And
yeah.
and so I didn't know if the form maybe should reflect that it's actually been reviewed by all those and have a signature line for those agencies.
Well, because it seems like you'd want the sheriff to weigh in,
mm-hmm.
public health.
He says fire, yes. sheriff, DEQ, building safety, planning, signed off. But...
Do we really have to ask the DEQ? I know. I suppose so.
They deal with the septic.
Uh-huh. Public health could do that, too.
Yeah.
But still, I get that.
But it is one of those things that, just in looking at it, it doesn't... I wouldn't know on looking at it that it didn't just go to their department and they issued it. Now, behind the scenes, they say that's their process. But... from my standpoint, too, I think it's beneficial for the BCC, when they send this out, say this permit has been issued, that would be included on that CC.
Yep, I think that's totally appropriate.
So I had just responded that he said he would be available this afternoon. I said if he could check in with me, but I also want to...
Sounds good. Let me know.
Okay.
No, that's good, and there's going to be more of those. I just went over one with the Cave Junction City Council and ODOT yesterday about the Sasquatch Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was right off an ODOT facility, it was onerous to make it safe enough. And there's no bypass roads at that golf course.
Mm-hmm.
If there was an accident, everything just stops.
Oh.
Yeah, so ODOT was fairly concerned, but trying to find a path for them. And I had to leave a hair early, I guess, after I left. They decided to maybe move it out off White Schoolhouse Road or something, the event.
Oh,
and
wow.
So then they don't even have to ask ODOT, just Josephine County. So it sounds like it's going to happen, but there's a little...
It's a busy day.
It is a busy day.
It's the yeah. Heroes Run for the Hearts with a Mission.
Oh, yeah.
It's the track meet, the 70th track
right,
meet.
Right, for Rotary.
It's the Merlin Parade. The Sasquatch, yep. And I know there was something else, and I don't remember.
It was a bunch. No, and that's great. I want to have a bunch of activities.
Yeah.
But everybody was pretty afraid that Sasquatch, they estimated, you know, 1,200 over 2 days, that it might explode up to 2,000 or 3,000, and that would be a problem.
Yeah.
Parking, traffic,
yep.
all that. So I'm glad they're working it out. ODOT was very... amicable, saying, oh, we'll find a way. We'll try and find. I know there's only 8 days, but we'll find a way.
Yeah.
And same with Josephine County. We had a couple guys from Public Works that were just great.
Good.
Yeah, went really well.
I wanted to let you know that this afternoon, a couple commissioners from Deschutes County are coming over to do a tour of our CRC. And I say our, it's ran by Options. But it is an opportunity since they're going to be hosting. So, let's see. So, Patty Adair, is she in your county college?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so she'll be here as far as, and Commissioner Phil Henderson. And so, they were going to be doing a tour of the Crisis Resolution Center with Office.
Who's hosting them?
They reached out and asked if they could tour the facility. They asked, they wanted to do a site visit, and let's see, they are traveling through Oregon to tour established facilities to learn best design and practices. So I brought in Carla McCafferty into the discussion, who could try to help coordinate. And then,
excuse me.
Now, Shelley Urig is their chief operations officer, and she's going to be providing the tour. So they reached out to us on a tour of facilities, and so we're going to do that this afternoon at 2.
Are you going to join?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes. Sorry, I'm a liaison for mental health, so I just figured I would
go. No, I think as long as one of us is there, I think that's great.
But I wanted to let you know, in case you knew, Patty.
I do.
We're meeting there. I mean, yep. I didn't know if you wanted to swing by and say hi, but at the same time.
Yeah, I'll probably just let you take it.
Okay.
No, she seems like a very good commissioner.
Good.
She has good input at the county college.
Yeah, and Phil's a spark plug, too. He's
Was he in your?
He was in our county college. And,
right.
You know, he's got the contractor background. And, you
right.
know,
there's
when
a few of us around.
They had the marijuana summit with Billy Williams in February last year up in Portland, there were 3 commissioners statewide invited out of 120. And it was Dan, myself, and Phil Henderson.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's
and all
cool.
3 of us were there, which is good. But I got some more feedback on the rogue fisheries stuff, specifically from somebody who's on the ODFW Restoration Enhancement Board and Advisory Committee and our Rogue River Watershed Council.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to be following up with Wally on that, because it's not necessarily mine to share yet.
Sure.
But I know there was some hesitations as far as making sure we're doing it right and what exactly
right.
is getting supported. And so trying to do the due diligence to get more information.
Sounds good.
So, alrighty. Well, I didn't know if there's anything else. Those were the big ones on my plate for today.
Just one for me. I was thinking about the WIR conference that we talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Before. And I'm a little concerned that my knowledge base is not as wide as yours.
Okay.
I didn't know if you had an opportunity in your schedule to go, but I think you'd be more effective there.
Okay.
My
concern is, honestly, I had some allegations that I'm always gone
right.
last year, and I would argue that a lot of that was intentional and beneficial.
Right.
But
I would think stuff like this is, and one of us should go.
I agree.
It's just a matter of whom.
I can go if the board wants me to.
Yeah, and I would certainly back that. I don't know if you want to get something from Dan, but like I said, I think you're more embroiled in it.
Yeah.
And
I've tried to be intentional to try to get Dan to go.
Right.
I want to support that he was natural resources and get that voice out there.
Right.
I know that a lot of what we do crosses over boundaries.
Yeah.
And so it's like having that balance of, okay, but I'm fire, but that's natural resources. But,
right.
you know, that balance there.
Well, and I'll probably have some mining talk as well.
It's all very beneficial. Yeah. I don't remember the dates, but looking at that week.
May 16th is one of them.
Yeah, it was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday with a pre-tour on Tuesday, if I remember correctly.
Right.
So most likely I would go to Salem and try to go out of there and come back from. If that's your desire,
yeah.
I would just
it
go
is.
From
my,
Salem.
That's my recommendation, unless you push back really hard.
No,
yeah.
I'm willing to go. I just also, I just want somebody there.
Right.
And
I agree.
Okay.
I'm just trying to say what's best for our county, and it seems like you have a better knowledge base for that this year than I do.
Okay.
And would be more effective.
If you...
Because I might be in a learning mode just looking around.
And that's not, that's
yep.
where I started.
yep.
I went to WIR 2 years
yeah.
ago, and saw a presentation from the ONC counties. Saw that's where my knowledge base started. So it's
right.
it's not necessarily bad.
Right.
I mean,
to be,
I think
but
you
we're,
would even,
a, we're at a critical time now.
Yeah.
Right now, we're turning quite a corner as a state and as a region. So.
We are, and so
yeah.
what I'm saying is, would it be beneficial for you to go for that learning?
Yeah. I'm sure that it would, but I think for our county,
okay.
you're the better candidate, and so I'd back you.
Okay. So if that's your desire, then I will make arrangements
it.
With your blessing. So is that
Let's
okay, Arthur? that work for you?
Yeah.
Are you Switzerland or what?
I think it's a good idea.
Okay, fun stuff.
Same money, different person. Right.
Well, did I tell you what I did for the July one?
Yeah.
I forgot it's during my cousin's wedding.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's all right. I might skip my cousin's wedding.
You've got a few cousins.
I do.
Part of a big family.
It's one of those things that being a vice chair of a committee, you're supposed to be at those meetings. And so
sure.
It's like, oh, well.
Yeah.
They could have just done what I did, never got married. It saves a lot of money and time.
Just delays it, perhaps. We'll see.
Right.
You're getting a little old to get your dad to pay for it.
That's true. I think we're past that.
might have crossed that line. I don't know. shoot, that's funny.
That is funny.
I did go out to Merlin yesterday, and we're going to arrange. Went out there to meet with Brian Hawkins, John Bowen, and three business owners in the Merlin area. And we talked about the what Julie Schmelzer had started.
The sign project.
Yeah, with the sign and the branding and the flavor of future building projects and sign changes and stuff. And so we decided to try and get a kind of a handoff meeting, bring Julie in when she can make it, take me out there and kind of hand off what she had started, and try and get into the business association that's formed out there and see if we can turbo that into some concerts in the park, perhaps some low-hanging fruit we can get the community to start backing.
Well, they do the concerts in the park already.
In Merlin?
Yeah, they do a concerts in the park.
Right, and they're talking about formalizing it and getting
okay.
some more, because I think the Parks Board has some planned. You're right. But trying to get that business group together and community leaders to try and have a group to talk to as commissioners, and when subjects like sidewalks come up, we'd have some group to go talk to instead of like Dan had to go to individual businesses mm-hmm. along the way, because there wasn't really a cohesive group. Didn't have to, but
no,
decided to.
So what we learned through that process was Baldini's is a message board location. Little Pantry is a message board
mm-hmm.
location. Going to a couple specific places and trying to also holding a community meeting. Now, they had a community meeting. They did a survey. They got support. And then I remember even seeing it on Facebook. And so there was a huge public backlash of saying we weren't included.
Right.
And there was also the language of who should be included. Should Hugo?
Mm-hmm.
Is Merlin design include all surrounding areas or just people that live within how close to the downtown
right.
Merlin area? What exactly, it's what we're facing with that Merlin Park Board too, as far as there's requests for some annexations to get some people in there because it's like two streets.
Right, it's
you
pretty
know?
Small.
That,
but there's no money in it either.
No.
So, right,
no,
not
and,
yet.
And so just kind of finding that balance, but there was some definite lessons learned and what some communication could have been.
Yeah.
And so it would be curious.
When it feels like they're in a spot where they got some momentum,
yeah.
and I don't want it to drop off. And so I want to try and capture some of that. So I attended the Parks Board meeting,
cool.
trying to ramp it up out there.
Well, and the signage, I think there's something to seeing a continuity of stuff. But then you got pushback from some folks saying, we don't want more people here, or we don't want,
right.
it's like, well,
right.
no, those folks are the economy of this downtown business area as
yeah.
they're traveling through. But there was also a price tag with some of those signage countywide that was desired that was beyond what I was willing to support.
Yeah, like I said, it was still in the idea phase. Some of them were more grandiose than others, but the overall feeling of that meeting yesterday was that it's already happening. There's so many tourists going through Merlin to do all the things they love to do that we just want to try and capture that, not trying to market it into be something way bigger, but just try and capture that to have it more, have more charm, so you feel like you're entering an
yeah.
area instead of driving through it.
Yeah.
And so hopefully, like I said, there's a few new businesses in there that are they're buying property and
nice.
And future plans and trying to get some more restaurant options near the freeway, because employees in the area are having trouble finding places to eat.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I think the community outreach will be key ahead of time.
Yep, I agree. And so, and John Bowen really wants to stay involved as the tourism promoter for Grants Pass. He feels that Merlin's a big part of that because of the river and the gateway that, you know, Grants Pass benefits from a good tourist message in Merlin. So.
True. Is he still on the CEDC?
He is.
Because it sounded like a couple of those other names you mentioned are also on the CEDC.
Yep.
Okay.
They are. And so, and that's part of it. Brian Hawkins is really becoming a good person to stay in contact with because he's up and coming in a few groups out there.
He's been essential in the help of our Get Ready Rogue project.
Yep.
And teaching.
And broadband subcommittee and on a few things. He's really excited. And he doesn't necessarily want to be the front person. He likes to be the kind of organizer and get people together. So it's good to have one of those.
Sunday, the town hall with
Merkley.
Senator Merkley, there's a pre-meeting with some local leaders I'm going to be at. Broadband is one of those topics we're bringing up. The rogue fisheries was one of the other ones. Obviously, the continued forest management and SRS and stuff like that. But
sure.
I don't know if there's anything else that comes to mind.
No, that's the hot ones. 1, 2, and almost 3. Yeah, I wasn't planning on attending.
Can I ask you to reach out on a different topic, too?
Sure.
To the city. We brought up on Tuesday Greyhound.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at their schedule for us right now, it's listing 24/7 access at the Carl's Jr. at the north end of town.
Yeah.
There's nothing open 24/7 except Denny's at that north end of town. So, and it's butts against another RV park, which is what the issue was on Morgan. It was by a senior RV park.
Right.
And people are getting off the bus, harassing residents. But on the website right now, if you look at it, it does, for some reason, it's saying Grants Pass still. I don't know. The other day we were told that they're bypassing Grants Pass and going to Medford and having people shuffled over.
Right on with JCT.
But it is still showing Grants Pass. I'm trying to see if I can find this. I had someone send me the information, so I'm just going to see if I can.
So kind of a where are they at?
Yeah, because we were told they were looking at the Carl's Jr. by the other end of the freeway.
Right, the Fred Meyer.
But it turns
end.
Out it's not.
Right. According to Greyhound's website? Or?
Correct.
Okay.
So it is curious, just the impact, and I only got contacted because there were citizens that were concerned about, and I didn't know the city is who's involved in that process. At one point they talked about doing the little pantry right on the Merlin on-ramp.
Right.
Now there's a little pantry on Vine, no Morgan, and Vine, right?
Right.
But that's not where it is either.
Are they 24 hours? I think they are.
They may be.
Yeah.
But the drop-off was...
Yeah, it's so close to residential there, whereas it wouldn't be over there. A little more buffer.
But I think you might be a better conduit of that discussion.
Sure.
Let's see.
I got a few friends over there.
Yeah, and I don't want to be confrontational.
Yeah.
I don't mean it to have that tone. I did. It is saying that it is at. It is 24 hours. It says the bus stop only at 1802 Northeast 6th Street. So it is.
There's not even parking along there.
No.
They'd have to turn on to.
So
Hillcrest
yes,
or whatever,
so,
yeah.
So 6th and Hillcrest, 1802 Northeast 6th. So they're just dropping right before Hillcrest there, and
they got to get their act together.
Yeah, it's hours of operations are 24/7. So since we were given alternate information on Tuesday, it might be worth following up.
I'll do it.
There was one other one. I asked Wally to put on the earliest possible calendar the process for the Allen Creek project so that can move forward. So I did follow up with that request.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's good.
All right. Well, I don't think I have anything else.
Well, because we're putting that on a future agenda when Dan's back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
So, but they're going to, we're trying to make sure we follow correct time string because it's not clear which timelines it falls under. So I said,
right.
Be as strict as you can to make sure we've followed them all exactly.
Sounds good.
So they're going to bring that forward. Okay, so just as a heads up for you, I have BLM meeting on Friday, an RCC meeting on Friday. They're reaching out to see about how the county can continue to have a relationship with their foundation and them. And then I have a meeting with the Fire Protection Board in the afternoon on the Rogue Valley Fire Protection. So just kind of some fun stuff coming up tomorrow in case. And then I will head out to, I'll see you at the State of the Valley.
Monday night, yes. Yes, at Illinois Valley High School.
Okay. I am.
I think they did a run through today. No, they're going out today. I think IT's going out to do a technology test.
Okay.
For audio visual.
Cool.
Yep.
I'm hoping it won't be a huge issue. I'm having issues with the county computer connecting with my county phone. And it's three times in the last 2 weeks they stopped syncing.
Golly.
So there'll be a change and you go to look at it and it's not there. And IT doesn't know why and I don't know either. So I don't know if my phone is just getting near the end of its usefulness and it needs replaced.
You said you changed something on my schedule yesterday and it never showed up on my phone. So maybe I'm having the same trouble. I never delved into it because it was like a one-time thing, but
I've just noticed the last couple weeks when I go to look at what is syncing, it's telling me my calendar is not syncing. And that is really frustrating.
Yeah. I know, because here's what mine says.
Yep, it's back again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not just you.
So, yeah, all right, I'll follow up with ID because something's going on that...
Yeah.
Tell
me
too. And when you live and breathe by this thing...
Yeah. It's the gospel.
Yeah, too many things. But I what brought it up is I just noticed that something I changed didn't get changed.
Didn't get changed.
And I remember specifically moving it in my phone. It didn't change in my computer here. And I go and look, and it hasn't synced since yesterday.
That's bad.
And just yesterday, I uninstalled and reinstalled it. And so, fun stuff.
Maybe I'll do a shutdown and see if it'll reset.
It didn't help. For a shutdown online,
yeah.
It took a full an uninstall and reinstall, which was no fun. So, all right. Well, if there's nothing else, we can be adjourned at 9:53.